For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Revelation chapter 4 today. Revelation chapter 4. And I trust all of you have had a wonderful week in the Lord and been encouraged. I'll tell you, a lot of things on the news will discourage you. You know, man, I'm just glad they shot down that weather balloon the other day, you know, after it drifted clear across the country and finally got in a safe place over there around Myrtle Beach, what of all places, you know. There were 152 West Virginian deer hunters down there that had 30-30 rifles, were ready to help, but they didn't need their help. After they shot down the balloon, they said they found some classified documents in it, you know. Who would have thought about that, you know? I heard this week they found some classified, the referees at the playoffs last week found some, they threw the flag so much near the Cincinnati Bengals bench, they found a number of boxes of classified documents behind the Bengals bench. But I don't know, that's just rumor, you know. That's just rumor. When they tapped on the doors of Punxsutawney Phil's lair up there in Pennsylvania the other day, when they opened it, they found Punxsutawney Phil, who predicted, of course, the prognosticator of prognosticators, the seer of seers, said that we'd have six more weeks of winter, but right behind him, they found a box of classified documents. I couldn't believe it. You know, they're just everywhere. They're everywhere. And, amen. It's wonderful. And, I'm glad that, I'm glad that Governor Justice has taken some of that COVID money and put it to good use. You know, they're going to help build a baseball stadium for Marshall University with, amen. Get everybody outdoors where they can play and, you know, you can't catch COVID out there playing baseball. But, well, I got all that off my chest now. I feel a lot better now. But, you heard about the fellow that had given up on social media. Some of you have been thinking about that. He said, I've given up on social media for the new year. He said, I'm trying to make friends outside Facebook while applying the same principles of Facebook. And he said, every day I walk down the street, tell passersby what I've eaten. And as I walk, I tell them how I feel and what I did the night before and what I will do tomorrow. Then I give them pictures of my family, my dog, and me in the garden. I also listen to their conversations. I tell them that I love them. And it works. This fellow said, I already have three people following me, two police officers and a psychiatrist. That's terrible, isn't it? That's awful. Amen. Don't pay much, don't get much. But anyway, Revelation chapter 4. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just glad to be back in church today. Amen. I have some notes here somewhere. Believe it or not, I do use notes from time to time, and there they are. Yes. Tonight I'll be preaching on the shield of faith. I hope that you'll be here tonight in our 6:30 service, and I'll be preaching around the next piece of armor. I appreciate Pastor Seth, Pastor Grant preaching while I was away, and Brother Mike teaching Sunday school. I appreciate these filling in, and as Brother Grant said, Mike Elder teaching in our class on Monday night. Revelation chapter 4, not unfamiliar. Probably, if you've read much of the Revelation, you're probably more familiar with Revelation 4 than you are Revelation whatever, between Revelation 4 and Revelation 22. And in Revelation 4, John writes in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Underline that in your Bible. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John said in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And in verse 5, and out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And we'll read about what the beasts represent and what they said. But I want you to notice in verse 1, John said, after this I looked. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. All that we know and read about heaven is good. And all that we read about hell and everlasting fire is terrible. I've read enough about hell to thank God I'm not going there, and I've read enough about heaven to praise God that I am headed that way. And it's all because of Jesus. As we read the book of Revelation, of course, writers have said it's the revelation of St. John the Divine, and we understand what they mean by that, but it's really the revelation of Jesus Christ the Divine. And God gives us an outline of the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. In Revelation chapter 1, 19, Jesus told John, he says, John, write the things which thou hast seen. The things which thou hast seen. And that aligns with chapter 1. And then he mentions this. Then he says, and the things which are. That aligns with chapters 2 and 3. Chapters 2 and 3. Or I'm sorry. 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, the 7 churches of Revelation, the 7 churches of Asia Minor, which represent different slices in the church age. And then he says, and the things which shall be hereafter, which align with chapters 4 through Revelation chapter 22. From Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19, the church is always seen in heaven. It's always in heaven. And there are a number of reasons I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, but that is one reason. That's a great reason, because I think that when God says to John, when Jesus says to John, John, come up hither, I think from that point on, I think that represents the rapture of the church. And it's a great way to describe the rapture, I think. Come up hither. It's a snatching away of the bride. And the bridegroom will come one day, and it could be today. We believe in an imminent return of Jesus Christ, a pre-tribulational return of Christ. That could be here today on February 5th, 2023. It could be today. And that's an exciting thing when we think that Jesus could come today. And He is coming. We don't know if it's today. We don't know if it's tomorrow. But we do know this, we're one day closer to His coming if we live through today without the trumpet sounding. And John was allowed of God to see all of this. And as he sees Revelation chapter 4, he's already seen Revelation 1, and God's laid a groundwork there on the Isle of Patmos. And around AD 96, as he writes this last book, John wrote the gospel that bears his name in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation. And so to be allowed of God to write one book of the Bible would be a wonderful thing. It'd be a great honor. But to be allowed of God to write 5 books of the Bible is an amazing, amazing thing. And I'm not saying that John was Jesus' favorite, but he loved him. In fact, John actually called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so while he's on the Isle of Patmos, God gives him this great vision. Brother Mike was telling the last hour about how different martyrs died and some of the apostles died, and how that God allowed John to live. And it's an amazing, amazing story about the apostle named John. And we read of others who saw heaven. We read of others who came back from heaven for a temporary time. And we read of them Moses and Elijah, of course, on the Mount of Transfiguration, they appeared there before Peter, James, and John and the Lord Jesus. They appeared there on the Mount of Transfiguration. We see them, and they were recognizable. And they talked, and they were conscious, and they knew what was going on. And so we learn some things about heaven when we see these scenes in the Bible. We read about Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 28, who would make a brief appearance. Remember when King Saul was away from God, but even away from God, and he went to the witch of Endor in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. And he goes in to see this witch of Endor. And of course, she was a woman of familiar spirits and crystal ball, horoscope type of a lady. And she didn't believe that she could bring Samuel back, but she did ask the question. She said, "Oh, king," or she said, who would you like for me to bring? Who would you like to speak to from the other world? And he said, "I'd like to speak to Samuel." Samuel had been a thorn in the side of the king through his preaching and as a prophet of God. But when hard times came, he said, "I'd sure like to hear from that old hard shell Baptist preacher named Samuel." And Samuel shows up. And this is what he said. He said, "Why have you disquieted me? Why have you brought me up?" So he came from paradise at that time. And he said, "Why have you brought me up? Why have you aroused me?" And those that go to heaven don't want to come back to this sin-cursed earth. I think of Lazarus, who was at least 4 days in the grave. And Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. And they loosed him and set him free. And Lazarus, the Bible says, was a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they were out as much to kill Lazarus, almost as much as they were trying to kill the Son of God. I think Lazarus walked around with a smile on his face the rest of his life till he died and went to heaven. I mean, imagine being in paradise for 4 days and then having to come back to this thing. But he had been 4 days and he was excited about it. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 said, "I knew a man in Christ," he said, years ago, and he said, I was taken up, and he said, "I saw things that were unspeakable. God wouldn't allow me to write about them." John saw some things, and Lazarus saw some things, and Paul saw some things. He never got over it. He saw heaven when he got saved on the road to Damascus. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. But however, none of them would see what John saw and would be allowed of God to write an entire book about it, like the book of Revelation, 22 chapters. It's all about him. It's all about his coming again. And it's all about the church age, and it's all about the judgments that are to come. It's all about Israel, but it's all about him. And he's coming again. And I just want to give, I guess if I were going to give a title to this message, I would just call it "Come Up Hither." I think God is every day saying to the child of God, "Come up hither. Come on up. Take a look at heaven. Take a look at what I've got planned for you. Come on up." I think if we don't come on up, we'll get so anchored to this world that we'll get discouraged and defeated. We need to come up, be with him. John was allowed of God to do that. And so he says, "The things that you've seen," chapter 1, "the things which are," chapters 2 and 3. That's where we are right now. Seven churches of Revelation, seven churches of Asia Minor. And I believe that today we're living in the Laodicean period of the church. We're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing, not even God. But we're waiting on Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. We're waiting for Jesus to say, "Come up hither." And it could be today. There's nothing that needs to happen for Jesus to come. God's not up in heaven checking off a checklist. He's not up there worried about anything that's happening here. By the way, nothing has ever taken God by surprise. Nothing. But I want to invite you to come up hither with me today as we look at some things. First of all, I want you to notice about John. John had a thirst to see him. He was thirsty. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, "Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How thirsty are you for God today? But John had a thirst. I want you to notice in verse 1 of Revelation 4, look at it with me again. John said, after this, after he'd heard about all the churches, after he'd heard about the church that left their first love, Ephesus, after he heard about the worldly church at Pergamos, after he heard about the church at Smyrna that would be a persecuted church, after he heard about the Laodicean period and the lukewarm church and how they made the Lord Jesus sick, he said, after this, he was ready to look up. You know, hey, after all of this that we go through all week long, we need some come up hithers. We need to take a look up. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. John had a thirst for the things of God. The disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who was close to Jesus, the one whose head laid across the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, the one who had always been close to him. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 1, he looked. I think if we're going to come up hither and spend some time with him and be encouraged today about the things of God, we've got to be looking up instead of looking out and looking down all the time. After this, I looked. That's why we need church. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need teaching. That's why we need fellowship. That's why we need service for God, is because we're so horizontal that we forget to get vertical and look up to him. John said, I looked. Which way did he look? He looked up. After this, I looked, and behold, the Greek word edu, behold, a door was opened in heaven. There's a door open for you today. If you're not saved, there's a door open for you. If you are saved, there's a door open. God says, hey, come on up and spend some time with me. God allowed Enoch to come and walk around with him for a while one day. He said, come up, spend the day. And he enjoyed it so much that he never came back. Elijah got to do that. One day we're going to get to do that in the rapture. And one day at our death, we're going to go see him. But John said, I looked. He had a thirst. That's why he looked. Secondly, notice he listened. The first voice he heard. Notice, the first voice which I heard. And he knew his voice. But it was amplified, I think, a bit. But he recognized it. He said, the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. I think of a trumpet. I mean, his last reference to the church is found in verse 22 in chapter 3 when he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. John said, I looked, I listened, and the first voice I heard was, as it were, of a sound of a trumpet. I think of a trumpet. A trumpet is musical. It wouldn't be when I played it, but a trumpet's musical. A trumpet has the idea of a message. When you sound a trumpet, I'm giving a message. He hears this voice as the sound of a trumpet, an announcement that's about to be made. I think of a moving thing when I hear of a trumpet. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The trumpet will sound, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the Bible says there'll be a shout and the sound of the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet will sound, and we'll hear him say, come up hither. It's a moving thing. A moving thing. I was teaching a Sunday school class years ago, a young adult class at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and we had people packed into this double room upstairs at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and I had one of our teenagers, Jerry Riley, that played in the band at Herbert Hoover and played the trumpet. And I said, Jerry, I said, I want you to stand out in the hallway. And I was teaching on the rapture, and I said, when I get to a certain place, I said, you'll know when it is. I said, I want you to sound the trumpet. And he did. Man, it was loud. And I knew it was coming, and it still shocked me. We had about three people that were taken to the hospital, the emergency room, almost. But I tell you what, people were saying, what was that? One day people are going to say, what was that? I don't know that the world's going to hear that trumpet, but we will. That trumpet is a moving thing. That trumpet is a messenger. That trumpet is musical. That trumpet's majestic. When that trumpet sounds, it's going to be majestic. And John said he had the voice of the sound of a trumpet, an announcement. He was making an important announcement. He listened for that announcement. Then number three, notice not only did he look and not only did he listen, but he left. I mean, if the Lord invites you up, you go with him. He said, come on up, John, come on up. And John said, all right, I'll come. And I think he was so glad to see the Savior again. He said, come up hither, verse 1, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So Revelation chapter 4 to the end of the book, we see things which shall be hereafter. Actually, we're not in Revelation chapter 4 yet, but it's a coming. It's coming. And he said, come up hither. And immediately he said, I was in the Spirit. What a great way to be with the Lord. Number two, John saw a throne. In verses 2 and 3, John saw a throne. And I read with emphasis all the times, not just in verses 2 and 3, but all the way down through verse 6 about the throne, the throne. Look in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, Isaiah chapter 6. And you know, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple, he was convicted, he was contrite, and he was committed. And he said, Lord, here am I, send me. And when John saw the Lord, I think it humbled him. But I think he saw God on his throne. You say, why do you believe that? Well, I think he saw, first of all, in verse 2, the Lord God. Then in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he saw the Lamb of God. Look in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 5. And he said, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He came. He was the only one worthy. He was the only one able to come and take that scroll and break the seal and open the judgments that would fall upon this land one day. The Lamb. He saw the Lord God. Later, he would see the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. But John saw a throne. It's his throne, not man's throne. That throne represents his authority. That throne represents his action. God still rules in the affairs of men. That throne represents his demands and our allegiance. He saw a throne. One day, we're going to see a throne. We were talking to some friends of ours not long ago who'd lost a loved one in death, and they'd had a good bit of death in their family. And he asked me sincerely with tears in his eyes, you know, the more people you have over there, the more interested you get in heaven. And he was asking me some sincere questions. He wasn't being critical. He wasn't being doubtful. He just said, Preacher, do you really think we'll see our loved ones up there? Will they be standing by the gate when we get there? I said, we will see them. We will see our loved ones again. And we'll be known as we're known. Now, I don't know the order of all of that, but I'll tell you this. The one that we're going to want to see is the Lamb of God. He's the one that we ought to be excited about seeing one day. The Lamb that died, the Lamb that was slain for us by God Almighty in our place that we might be redeemed from our sins. We'll see Him high and lifted up. His train will fill the temple. We'll see Him. John saw a throne. John had a thirst. But notice number three, John saw a throng of people. A throng of people. He saw a lot. I mean, just right there. If John would have known everything that he was going to see, just seeing this would have helped him to get over the hump. But the Lord lays it all out there. First of all, notice the throng that he saw. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders." There's been much conjecture about who the 24 elders represent, but I believe from the Scriptures, if we'll take the context of Scriptures, we'll understand that these 24 elders represent the church, the redeemed bride of Christ. The Bible says they're seated. They're clothed in white raiment, verse 4. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And notice it says in verse 5, "And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne." So he saw the 24 elders that represent the redeemed, the bride of Christ. Look in chapter 5 and verse 8. He goes on to say, "When he had taken the book," Jesus had taken the book, "the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song." Who's going to sing a new song in heaven? It's going to be the bride of Christ, the church. It's going to be you and me. He saw a throng of people. Think about the millions that will be in heaven. Well, you say, what if it gets too crowded? He can build more. He can add on. They sang a new song, and they said, "Thou art worthy to take the book," Revelation 5, 9, "to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." He's describing the 24 elders. He's describing those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You and me. He said in verse 10, "Has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Who will reign on the earth? You and I will one day. He saw a throng. He saw the multitudes. He saw the church, the bride of Christ. He saw, secondly, the seven spirits of God. Now, I'm not going to solve that today. Now, if you want that solved, you see Tom Price or Brother Leedy after the service. They'll explain all that to you. Amen. Seven is the number of completion in the Scriptures, especially in the book of Revelation. And as we see that seven spirits of God, I believe that's a capitalized S, I believe. Let's see. He saw the seven spirits of God, verse 5. And he says the seven spirits of God. I'm not sure exactly what we're looking at there, but I believe if you'll study this, and you look at the great minds of the past, the commentators that have written the Bible commentaries and have waxed eloquent about this, most of them just say they're not sure what it means. But they will all agree it represents the Holy Spirit of God. And why would it not? I mean, why would it not? We see the Lamb of God. We see God on His throne, the Lord, Yahweh. Why wouldn't the Spirit of God be there? The Holy Spirit of God. And I think those seven spirits, isn't it good to know that the divine comforter, that paraclete, will go with us all the way through, all the way to the throne room of God Himself. And so we see the seven spirits of God, that number of completeness, the Holy Spirit. Even though it's figurative, we understand, especially in Revelation, the figurative interpretation is based upon a literal interpretation. So we see the 24 elders. Then we see the seven spirits of God. Then we see the four beasts. These are unusual creatures. Look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Now these are not fearful beasts. But without our glorified body, it'd be hard for us to take in the holiness of heaven and the holiness of God and to understand all of this. But he said in verse 7, "The first beast was like unto a lion." And I think that lion represents strength. "The second beast like a calf," that represents servitude. "The third beast had a face of a man," that represents intelligence. And that's a stretch. "And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle," which represents swiftness and the majestic eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." These are angelic beings, seraphim or cherubim of some kind, that encompass the throne of God, and all their mission is just to give praise and honor to the Lord God Almighty. We're going to see them one day. There are other angels, still innumerable, that we'll see one day up in heaven. Thousands upon thousands, we'll see them. And then John saw a throng, a multitude of people redeemed, a multitude of angels and cherubim and seraphim. Look in chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10, but notice it says that... In verse 11, "Behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." It's going to be quite a reunion up there. John said, "Come up hither." Jesus said, "Come up hither, John. I want to show you the throne. Hey, John, I want to show you my reward for those that thirst after me in righteousness. Hey, John, I want to show you the throng of people." Sometimes we all get under the juniper tree and we feel like, "Elijah, I'm the only one left." But we're not. God said, "I've got thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And there'll be people up there of every tongue and nation. You say, "Why should we support missions?" Because God wants one day standing before the throne of God. God wants every nation, every color, every dialect. God wants every nation to represent Him before the throne of God. God wants everyone someday to stand. And wouldn't it be sad if a nation didn't have some people represented up there in heaven? God said, "There's a throng, John. I want to show it to you." Then John saw a thrusting. He saw a thrusting. Look in chapter 14. Turn over to chapter 14. And I want to show you, as we get further into the tribulation period, John would see the seals broken, the seven seals. The seventh seal would give away to the first trumpet. There'd be seven trumpets. Then the seventh trumpet would give way to the vials or the bowls, and there'd be seven bowl judgments. And each series of judgments, it's almost like the birth pangs of a mother giving birth. They increase. They get more painful. They become closer together and closer to the coming of Christ to the earth. As we read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14, we see the thrusting of God's sickle of judgment onto this earth. John said, "I looked." Isn't it amazing that from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 14, he's still looking. He's still looking. I think God's looking for people that are still looking. He said, "I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple," verse 15, "crying with a loud voice," don't miss this, "to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle." John saw a thrusting of the sickle. And he says, "And reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle upon the earth. The earth was reaped. And verse 18, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth." Verse 19, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth." We see the season of the thrusting of the sickle is harvest time. The season is now. It could be any moment that the thrusting of the sickle begins. But the season is ripe. The season is ready. The season, though, here is in the tribulation period. We'll be gone. We'll be taken out. You say, "Preacher, I sure don't understand all this." Just remember this. You will be taken out, if you're saved, you'll be taken out ahead of the tribulation. This will all happen on earth when we're gone. You see the season of tribulation. Then see the severity. Look in verse 20. When that sickle is pressed into judgment, the winepress was trodden without the city, verse 20. God uses figurative language here to give a literal understanding. And blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. 184 miles the blood will run to the horse's bridle. You say, how in the world could an army, how large of an army could there be that you'd have that much blood running down the Jezreel Valley at the Battle of Armageddon? If you've ever been and seen the Jezreel Valley, you can Google it today. You can go online and see it. The Plain of Megiddo, you could easily put millions of soldiers there, and there have been millions there down through the centuries. God said when Jesus comes back, there'll be blood that will run down that valley to the horses' bridles for 180 some miles. The sickle of judgment will be thrust into this earth. I'm saying today, miss it. Miss it. Trust Jesus today. Come to Christ today. Don't wait. Don't gamble your soul on missing the second coming of Christ. Come up hither. Now, you'll not read that in the New York Times or the Charleston Gazette, but He's coming. He's coming, friend. There's going to be a day He'll thrust in that sickle of judgment. And if you're lost without Christ, you'll be doomed to a devil's hell, and you'll go through that judgment of the seals, the judgment of the vials, the judgment of the trumpets. The blood will run. Will it be your blood? Friend, trust Jesus today. If you're listening by way of internet today, trust Jesus today. He's coming again. He said, look, let not your heart be troubled. He said to the church, to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. These that go through the judgments of the tribulation, they're not going to see that. They're going to hear Him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. John saw a thrusting. And it bothered him. He was shocked. He was saddened. But finally, I want you to know this, John. Come up hither, John. John was thrilled. He was shocked by it all. The severity of it. The season of it. As he saw all of that, he thought, oh. But Jesus said this, John, let me give you a peek into the future. I wouldn't want to end in the tribulation period because it doesn't end there. Revelation chapter 21, he said, John, in verse 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John was still hanging around after Revelation 4, after the seals, after the trumpets, after the bowls. And he saw another series of judgments that God wouldn't even let him write about. They were so terrible. But he kept hanging around. He really had nowhere to go. He's on the Isle of Patmos. God said, let me give you one more look. You're going to be thrilled, John. John looked up and he said, I saw a new heaven. We'll need a new earth. And all of that after the judgments of the tribulation period. He said, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. He said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That's where we're going. That's where our loved ones are. That's where tomorrow I'll stand and try to comfort a family and say, let not your heart be troubled. Your loved one trusted Christ back at church camp years ago. And because of that, they're in this place that we're reading about today. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm telling you, if you believe in God, believe in Jesus, and repent of your sin, trust Christ as your Savior. One day you'll see that New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And John said, he saw something and he heard something. He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And one day it's going to be true. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures and your treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. And we shouldn't. It's not just the angels that beckon us. It's the people of God, that multitude, that throng. They're beckoning us. They're cheering us from the grandstands of heaven, saying, don't quit. Keep it up. Keep sowing the seed. Keep praying. Keep giving. Keep serving. No time to quit. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst. There's that word again. Of the fountain of the water of life freely. He'll give it to you today. John was thrilled. You know, we'll also be thrilled. Our loved ones, our friends that are there, they're thrilled right now. Someone reminded me the other day, they'd read or seen it depicted somehow. While we're all crying and weeping here as we say goodbye to our friends and loved ones, I get tired of all that, don't you? I really get tired. I mean, but on the other side, while we're weeping, I think of Dorcas, who they were all standing around there. Of course, God raised her from the dead. They're all weeping and remembering keepsakes that she'd made for them, little things that she'd left behind. But think about this, on the other shore, there's a throng up there that's saying, praise God, here they come. And they're up there on that heaven shore welcoming us home. Welcoming us home. They're excited. Here they come. Here they come. And they want to show us around heaven. Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? I often forget that. But more than that, I think of the Son of God who's there and wants to welcome us home. Got a lot of people to see, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's Him. It's He that makes it all worthwhile. John said, I think Jesus said it, John, a change of scenery will do you good. Come up and visit me. And what he saw, what Paul saw, what Zacchaeus saw, or Lazarus, I'm sorry, what Lazarus saw, what they saw, it changed them. We see through a glass darkly now, but then face to face. John said, after this I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. If you'll open the door, if you'll come in, I'll sup with you and you can sup with me. Will you do that today? Will you do it? Say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. Come up hither. Come up hither. Get above where we're living. Let's read about where we're headed. Anyone who takes a vacation does quite a bit of study. Oh, I want to see this. I look forward to seeing that. This is something I want to see. But think about heaven. Think about heaven. 6 days it took the Lord. He didn't have to take 6 days, but He took 6 days and made the earth and all that's in it. Think about how beautiful heaven must be. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I've heard of a place called heaven. And one day, I'll be there. And so will you, by faith in Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Have you believed on Him? Come up hither. Come up hither.